Now, with official stock routes for the drovers and the bullockies vanished into legend, things were more amicable between vagabonds and stay-puts. The occasional drovers were welcomed as they rode in for a beer and a talk, a home-cooked meal. Sometimes they brought women with them, driving battered old sulkies with galled ex-stock horses between the shafts, pots and billies and bottles banging and clanking in a fringe all around. These were the most cheerful or the most morose women in the outback, drifting from Kinuna to the Peru, from Goodawindi to Gundagai, from the Catherine to the Curry. Strange women, they never knew a roof over their heads or the feel of a kapok mattress beneath their iron-hard spines. No man had bested them. They were as tough and enduring as the country which flowed under their restless feet. Wild as the birds in the sun-drenched trees, their children skulked shyly behind the sulky wheels, or scuttled for the protection of the wood-heap while their parents yarned over cups of tea, swapped all stories and books, promised to pass on vague messages to Hoop-Iron Collins or Brumby Waters, and told the fantastic tale of the Pommy Jackaroo on Narlunga. And somehow you could be sure these rootless wanderers had dug a grave, buried a child or a wife, a husband or a mate, under some never-to-be-forgotten kulaba, on a stretch of the TSR which only looked the same to those who didn't know how hearts could mark out as singular and special, one tree in a wilderness of trees. Meggie was ignorant even of the meaning of a phrase as hackneyed as the facts of life, for circumstances had conspired to block every avenue whereby she might have learned. Her father drew a rigid line between the males of the family and the females. Subjects like breeding or mating were never discussed in front of the women, nor did the men ever appear in front of the women unless fully clothed. The kind of books that might have given her a clue never appeared on Drogheda, and she had no friends of her own age to contribute to her education. Her life was absolutely harnessed to the needs of the house, and around the house there were no sexual activities at all. The home paddock creatures were almost literally sterile. Mary Carson didn't breed horses. She bought them from Martin King of Bugella, who did. Unless one bred horses, stallions were a nuisance, so Drogheda didn't have any stallions. It did have a bull,